Let's pray. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable for you, Lord. May we understand what you're trying to say to us today. May our hearts be in your hands to be moulded into your image and your desires. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. All right. Has anyone ever done something really special for you? Something that was a genuine act of love or kindness towards you? Doesn't it make you feel very special when someone does something like that? Would anyone like to share something that special is? No one brave enough? Well, I think there's some people that just seem to be able to make you feel better after you've been with them or after they've done something for you. You just go away feeling better. And I mean, I know you don't like being made an example of, but I mean, after that lovely afternoon with Phil and Faye last week, went away feeling better. It was lovely. It was a beautiful afternoon. But I want to share a story of a girl I knew when I was young called Sherilee, who was part of our youth group. She was just one of these people that saw a need and would fill it, or would see someone that needed encouragement and encourage them. I remember things like one of the girls in church was a teacher. She was in charge of the school musical and play. And she was just going, none of the parents want to help me. And this girl just didn't even hear the conversation that we had. And then she came over and said, oh, you know, you were telling me you were doing that play, you know. I could help you out with the sets. Because this girl was a very talented artist. And I thought, oh, well, that's a big bite to take a chew off. And then she got other people. She said, oh, but Brenton, you know, you could do this and that, couldn't you? To help me? Oh, yeah, I probably could, yeah. And then she had a whole team there for this lady that just didn't know what she was going to do. And then we all got invited to the play as well. And the parents were just like going, oh, you know, they were just blown away with what happened with the kids and everything. So all because this one girl saw a need and saw a way of stepping in with God's love and helping. That's just what she was like. She was a gifted girl and a lovely person. But just as she was making her way in the world, she was struck down by an organ-eating disease. So it was eating away her internal organs. So a terrible thing to be struck down with. And she didn't have a long time to live. They said, well, we might be able to extend your life like a kidney transplant and that, but we need a suitable donor. And so people were praying for it, and she did get a kidney transplant. I'm not sure if she had other things done as well. It was a pretty serious thing, but she came back from that, and then she would have been in the Paralympic team because it's also for organ transplant people as well. She was a very gifted athlete, and she would have been in the tennis team, but then her disease continued. I'm not sure. I've lost touch with her over the years. I'm not sure if she's still alive or not. Last time I saw her, I could see she wasn't well. So I think her hair was covered. I suspect she'd lost all her head and she was a terrible colour, but there was still joy in her face and her countenance. She was one of those people that just brought joy into the room, even in the midst of her suffering. You know, a lot of people wouldn't have even known that she was seriously ill because of the person that she was. She had a joy and a love for life and for God and others. It didn't matter where you were from, what you'd done, or or where you're at, she would treat and talk to everyone the same, and she just made everyone feel better and uplifted. She was definitely someone who lived in God's love, and love shone out through her to others. So today I want us to get an insight into living in God's love, so he shines through us and blesses others. In 1 John chapter 4, in verses 16 and 17, it says, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So God is the origin of love. Sometimes we try really hard in our own efforts, but we miss the mark. But God is true, pure, and perfect love. True because everything he says through his word and everything he does in his actions shows and expresses his nature, who he is, which is good, honest, trustworthy, holy, lovely, true. We can go on and on with those sort of descriptive words. He's pure because he doesn't have any ulterior motives. There's not a lot we do where we're not thinking about how this might benefit us and things like that, even when we're doing good things. But God, he is purely concerned with what is in our best interests and how to develop his godly love within us. Perfect, he's perfect because he can do no wrong, because that's just who he is. Everything he says and does is right, correct, beautiful, wonderful. It can't be better. Any superlative you can think of relates to God more than we can express. We've got so many songs that try and express that. And they're just really the tip of the iceberg. But it's wonderful to express that. And as I was writing this, I kept having the song in my head. The song is, our God is greater, our God is stronger, your love is, our God is higher than any other. But I remembered the lyrics wrong. I actually wrote down, your love is greater, your love is stronger, your love is higher than any other. And that's appropriate. I was trying to search for it, and of course kept coming up with other songs because I had the lyrics wrong. But anyway, I think God was trying to make a point. But in our world, you'll find that people are exaggerating all the time. They're talking about, isn't this person wonderful? Particularly, you find in it tends to come a lot of it out of America. They're talking about how wonderful, great, this guy's the greatest of all time. It's amazing, What did he do? He took a couple of steps. I don't know what. He's supposed to have done something wonderful. It's interesting. And they call him the GOAT if they're the greatest of all time, because that's the initials, the GOAT, greatest of all time. And it's interesting that one of the traditional symbols of Satan is the GOAT. But we know Christ reigns supreme. Right from the beginning, God's great love has been shown in everything he does and is expressed through his creation that he made for us. We are created in his image. So it's those godly qualities that are supposed to be deep-seated within us and reflected within us as we interact with our world and our people and our community around us. We were created in his image to follow his example of living in his love and reflecting it in our reign over creation. He's put us in charge of the whole of his creation. It's a big responsibility. And he's given us that to care for. Do you like being out in God's creation? I know I do. Enjoying the warmth of the sun, the trees swaying and waving in the breeze, the beauty of the flowers, the singing of the birds, the crashing of the waves on a beach, the joy of watching young animals as they frolic in the field. we want to know and experience what real love is, we need to turn to God, the originator and author of life, and receive his love. God is our love supplier through his Holy Spirit living in our hearts, changing the way we see things, not from our perspective, but from God's perspective. I know there's no other place I want to be. Living in his presence, receiving his love, and giving his love away to others. Some of the images we have of the Holy Spirit in the scriptures include breath. God breathes his breath or air of life into us. It's an inexhaustible supply. Never runs out. We don't control it, but we can't survive without it. Water. We are like a vessel. He fills us up. But we're a vessel that can't contain all of his love, so it flows out of us, refreshing all who drink from it. We need this water to survive, but its flow will never run out. It talks about streams of living water will flow through us. We also receive oil, a special anointing, an honour of being his holy priesthood, to bring healing to the nations. These things, air, these images, air, water, oil, are not things we can grab. Can you grab water? Can you hold it? Just slips through our fingers, doesn't it? But when we rely on God's Holy Spirit for his supply, unlimited supply of love and provision for us, there's no limit to what he can do with us. If we're willing to receive from him, he is willing to give us more love than we can ever hope for or imagine. Love is our purpose. We were made to love God and each other. Do you like being told what to do? Well, it probably depends who's telling you. If it's someone in authority, like your boss, teacher, policeman, maybe even the king, you probably will do it even if you don't want to, because the consequences of not doing it might not be worth considering. I know when Sharon comes up to me and asks me to do something along the lines of, I should do that weeks ago. Why haven't you done it? I want to do this, but I can't do it. No, she doesn't talk to me like she says, now, Dana, I know you've been busy. I know we've had a lot on, but I really want to do this. But I can't do it unless you do this for me. Can you please do this for me? Oh, of course, Dana. Well, the truth is probably somewhere in the middle, isn't it? But sometimes we know the consequences for not doing it are just not worth considering, so we do it. What about God? Does he ever ask us to do anything? Or can we just do whatever we please? He doesn't just ask us to do things. He actually commands us to do some things. Wow, that must be pretty important if he's actually commanding us to do something. So we better, you know, pay attention. So, now one of the teachers of the law asked Jesus, what's the most important commandment? Well, what did Jesus say? Out of all the things God has told us to do, what's the most important? Well, we better listen super carefully to this one and make sure we understand what he's saying to us. But most importantly, we better make doubly sure that we actually do what he tells us. Do you agree with that? Let's have a listen and see what he says. All right, let's listen to what Jesus says in Mark 12. The most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. So what's he saying there? There's three main points here. There is only one true God. Not Buddha, not Muhammad or Allah. Not ourselves. There's only one true God, and he is Lord of all. We are to love God with everything we have, our entire being. We are also to love others the same way we ourselves would like to be loved and cared for. When we do this, we are living how God intends us to live and fulfilling our true calling and purpose in life. So living in love brings fulfillment in our lives. Fulfillment of what God wants for us, but mainly the deep satisfaction, the joy, the contentment, peace, fulfillment in our hearts as we live with God and make a difference in others' lives and in the world around us. Let me tell you a story about an old mate from Strath. He inherited his father's motorbike after his father had passed away, and in his spare time, he lovingly restored it because it reminded him of the good times he'd spent with his father on motorbike trips that they went together. When he finished it, it was a nice day, so he took it for a ride up through the hills on the road to Mackie. While he was riding along, he saw some bikes pulled over on the side of the road. It was in a strange spot, and he thought, it looks like one of them might have broken down, so he thought, I'll pull over and see if it can help. Sure enough, they said one of their bikes needed looking at, but as he bent down to have a look, he was grabbed and they bashed him and beat him up. They stripped him of his new leathers that he'd put on and stole his bike, took it, leaving him there half dead. Soon after, a pastor on his way to preach at Mackie saw him lying on the side of the road and thought as he passed by on the other side of the road, I wonder if he's drunk, having a snooze, or has had a medical episode or something. But he didn't even slow down to check him, but passed by on the other side of the road and left him there, hoping that someone else might come along and check if he was okay. It wasn't long, and a lady was running late for church with her kids, saw him, slowed down to take a look, but thought, what if this is a trap? He might try and steal my car or kidnap me or the kids, and so kept going on her way. Next, a rough Catholic man from Elizabeth came along and saw the man. Immediately he stopped and was filled with concern for him. When he saw the extent of the man's injuries, he called for an ambulance and started tending to the man's wound with his first aid kit and went with him to hospital, and he made sure that all his ambulance and his medical bills would be paid. There's no doubt he saved this man's life through his actions. So which one showed God's love to this man? The pastor on his way to preach? Didn't even slow down. The lady running late for church? Or the Catholic man from Elizabeth? Which one went home feeling more fulfilled? There's truth in the words of Jesus. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You know, when we love people with Jesus, he blesses us with even more love so we can keep giving it away. With Jesus' love in our hearts, we really can do no wrong. Jesus told a similar story to the one I told you, called the Good Samaritan. You might have recognised that. And I have to confess that part of that story was true. It didn't happen on the Mackie Road, but I was driving down near the soccer stadium, I think it's Mountain Street at Hindmarsh, and I looked across as I was driving, and there was a guy just completely spread out on the pavement in the middle of the day. I thought, oh, what am I going to do? And by the time I'd sort of passed by, and I didn't do anything. wasn't very Christ-like, was it? No. And yeah, I should have been ashamed of that, and I was. There's always an excuse we can come up with to, oh no, we've got to do this, I've got to be there, or you know, something else. But what does God want us to do? That's what we often have to ask ourselves. Genuinely ask God. So, in the story, I've heard it said before, and I'd never seen it. Jesus is actually in that story. He is the Good Samaritan. He calls people from places we would never imagine. Because in that context, the people of that day had chosen to make Jesus their enemy. The Pharisees, teachers of the law, all the leaders saw Jesus just like they saw the Samaritans. And that's why only God can change our hearts to see people differently. To see people like Jesus did, like the Good Samaritan. So how is the Good Samaritan a parallel of Jesus? Well, he showed care and compassion for the hurt man at risk of death. He healed his wounds. He paid the debt that he couldn't pay. And he left him in good care. The Holy Spirit. So, what have we learnt today? The things that I want you to take away is we are created to love God and each other. This is our purpose in life. And when we live in God's love, we find true fulfillment. So how do we live in God's love? Jesus showed us the way through his perfect life here on earth. If you want to find out more about that, you can read your Bible. It's highly recommended. He perfectly loved his Father and loved us through what he did on earth, even to death on a cross. So we can now live in relationship with him and his Father. This is how 1 John chapter 4 verses 9 to 10 puts it. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Can I have a couple of helpers, please, to distribute the bread and the juice? Thank you. So hold the bread and the juice, and then I'll pray for us, and then we'll eat together. So let's remember the amazing love God has shown us through his Son, Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians, the prayer I'm praying for is from 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 12 and 13. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. May he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Let's eat and drink together, remembering Jesus' great love, his amazing sacrifice for us. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.